God cares about you. The Word of God says in Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. I don't think we heard the word quite accurately this morning. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. You want to make heaven happy? Win some souls. You want to call an angel's convention of praise and worship? Just get out there and witness. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Well, what if I don't win them? What if you do? What if you do? And I believe God can anoint you to give a witness that they can't get away from. Now let's read the verses that follow this here in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, sin will take everything you've got, and then some. When he had spent all, there came a mighty famine in the land. Now the trouble is increases, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk of the swine that they did eat. And no man, notice this, no man gave unto him. And when, this is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Word of God, verse 70. And when he came to himself. You know when things are going to change for you? You know when things are going to change in your life? You know when there's going to be a turnaround? There's going to be a 180? There's going to be a get out of here, Satan? You know when things are going to change? When we come to ourselves. Wait a minute. What did God say? What did God say about this? What did God say when he came to himself? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Honey, trot out any translation that can say it any better than that. I'm not saying there's you heard what I said. Amen. Don't bring out the discords. Don't bring out the out-of-date goods. Bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet you never gave me a kid or had a feast for me, that I might make merry with my friends. My friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, do you ever have the father say, son, daughter? Pull up a chair. We're going to talk here for a moment. We need to talk over some things. You're ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, I was just in a time of looking in the Word of God, and I looked at this portion of God's Word, and I was reading it, and I just began to look at those words that were there. My gracious. And I've been accused, and I am guilty, of writing sermons on grocery list, discovery card here, information, anything I can get my hands on. When I feel the Spirit moving, I start writing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I begin to look at this man's story, I was talking to a person a few days ago, a bright person, did very well in their field of expertise, in their 30s, sharp, on the ball. But they said, I was raised poor, and it has had an effect on me all my life. I was raised poor. And there were two or three remarks that were made. I wouldn't know anything about that. I mean, here's a person who's brilliant, bright, educated, doing well, good salary, achieving in life. And yet, they didn't feel worthy. Life had cheated them some way. I mean, something had left a mark on them. And the thing that I want to share with you this morning is God wants you to have a new revelation of the amazing grace of God in your life. You're not going to be somebody. You are somebody. If you're born again, you are somebody. And you're somebody very, very special. But as I looked, and I'm not trying to be prolific with it. I just looked at this situation. Here's a young man who had everything. But he was lost at home. He was lost away from home and had to come home before he got things right. Two young men, two brothers. It's sort of like life. There's heaven or hell. There's salvation or lost. And do we not realize that every person in your family, every person where you work, every person that you come in contact with on a daily basis is either saved or lost? Well, they're about half saved. No, that won't work. You can't be half saved. You're either saved or you're not. You might be saved and not much showing much fruit, but you're either saved or you're not. And the Bible said that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how complicated are we going to make coming to Jesus? Are we going to make this so difficult that, unless your IQ is way up there, you can't come to Jesus. You don't know where the dots are. You can't connect the dots. This salvation is so awesome, so wonderful, so beyond understanding. That if you're dying on a cross, if you'll just have enough faith to reach over and say, "Would you remember me today?" You can be born again. That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, you're into that easy salvation. No, I'm not into, well, it was easy for us to get into it, but it cost him everything he had. Yeah. It's not difficult to be born again. I mean, we don't call people forward, and after 12 weeks of classes, we decide whether they can be saved or not. Hallelujah. Whosoever, in a church, on the street, in a family reunion, in a mall, in a hospital, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are saved people and lost people. And unfortunately, it seems like the lost outweigh the saved. But there's churches like Calvary that say we're going to, by the grace of God, make a difference. Do you realize the miracle we just heard from Paul this morning? This is not just something that's gone on a few days or a few weeks. I wouldn't even want to say some of the names they give to places, final resting places, I don't even want to go there. But, I mean, there's some very sad names that are given for people to go there because that's the last stop. That's the last stop. But isn't it interesting that Calvary Cathedral International has invested in going to the last stop? And saying, you don't have to if you don't want to. I like what Evangelist D.H. Phillips, a man that most of you don't know because it's been a few years since he's ministered. He's gone to be with Jesus. But I can still hear that raspy evangelistic voice. He said, God has one more miracle just for you. God has one more miracle just for you. And he does. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. His shelves are not empty. His warehouse is full. Thank God. But the Bible uses the word dead. 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 The Bible says that they were dead in sins and trespasses. Do you know that everyone who is not born again is dead? They're walking dead men. And I've always kind of, I don't know, I just didn't like the sound of it, the Grateful Dead or, some of the rock. No, wait a minute. But, they're telling the truth. They better be grateful. They haven't breathed their last until they're ready for it. You're mighty right. They better be grateful. Because where they're going, if they don't know Jesus, is forever. It's the last song, honey. Ain't no more concerts there. You don't want to attend that concert, though you have to, for eternity. Dead. Aren't you thankful? You know, that young lady, I said, no. You are of value. You're really wealthy. But my car's not wealthy, and I've gone through divorce, and I'm having to, you know, do this to, you know, all the things that people do to survive when finances close in on them. I said, but you're wealthy if you know Jesus. Did you hear me this morning? If you know Jesus, you are wealthy not only today, but you're wealthy throughout eternity. Wealthy throughout eternity. If you're lost, you're a loser throughout eternity. A loser throughout eternity. Dead in sins and trespasses. That's what the Bible said, that those that do not know Jesus, Jesus gave his life for those who were dead in sins and trespasses. Aren't you thankful that Jesus has already taken care of the sin problem? You say, but I can still sin, but you don't have to. Hallelujah. God loves you. And you're in a house that loves you. And if you've missed it, we want to help you. We want to help you around here. We don't want to hurt you. We want to help you. Hallelujah. There's a way out. There's a way through. There's a way back to the Father's house. So there's the word dead that was used. He said, my son was dead. He realized that. Dead in sins and trespasses. And you know, that's true in our world today. But you know, a word that's worse than dead is lost. I mean, dying, not all bad if you're going to the right place. But lost, no coming back on that one. Lost. How rich we are. How rich we are. Think about it. How rich we are. We are rich. Oh, how blessed we are. Oh. And you see, if you're not serving God, he spent all. He got everything that he said that the Father deemed was his, and I don't see if the Father's trying to hold anything out. And he went to a far country, and it doesn't take long. I remember a man that I probably called his name. He was successful in the restaurant business. I forget how many restaurants he started here in Fort Worth. He would start them. He had a tremendous ability to start a restaurant, but the problem was he couldn't stay away from Las Vegas. And so he had built up a prosperous business, go to Las Vegas, and lose it. Then he'd come back and have to start all over again. And he would start all over again. And lo and behold, he'd do it again because he was gifted. He was gifted. But the other problem was he couldn't stay away from Las Vegas. Spent all. Let me tell you something. Sin will cause you to spend all. Sin will cause you to spend all. We've had more drug-related memorial services. I just have to commit those to the Lord over these many years that we have pastored in this particular city. Because you see, sin will take everything you've got. Sin will just fire a bullet through a wall from a street just for the fun of it. Sin will get high. And I don't know anything about the details, but how could that be that a 15-year-old boy got 25 years? He shot his best friend, I guess. Now, I don't know anything about it, so don't ask me about it. I just happened to see it in the newspaper there. You see, sin is no win. Sin will take you further than you intended to go, keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. Well, I'm just going to stay here a little while. Just one more night. One more night. And I never could figure out, Pharaoh said, one more night with the frogs. One more night. I just want one more night with the frogs, and then we'll accept deliverance. Sin will steal, kill, and destroy everything that's near and dear. Your self-respect, your future, your present, your family, your children. Sin just it just goes on and on and on. And I keep coming back. I've met more than one person here recently. I don't know what the deal is. I guess maybe God wanted me to minister along that line to some certain people. But have every reason in the world to be happy, except they don't know Jesus. Then I even meet people that know Jesus, but they feel like life has dealt them a bad hand. And, you know, they've been cheated out of life. Let me tell you. If everything in life is stolen, everything you have, and you have Jesus, you are wealthy. And you're not only wealthy now, honey, you're going to be wealthy throughout eternity. You're going to be wealthy throughout eternity. Hallelujah. And so we see that sin will cause you to spend all. And I was just thinking, the power of a decision. That boy was away from home, had lost everything. I mean, he has nothing. He's a Jew, and now he's feeding the hogs. That's a low blow for a Jew, especially in that day and time. That was a low blow. But you know what he said? You know, you're just, some of you here this morning are, I mean, we've already had an altar call. You're just a decision away from your complete life turning around. Stop whining about what could have been, should have been, might have been, hope could have been. And realize that you can take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus this morning. And if you'll just shut up. I didn't mean to say that. I've known people for years, they just don't know how to shut up. They're coming along pretty good, and they just don't know how to shut up. Even a fish wouldn't get caught if he kept his mouth shut. Now, I know you wiseacres say he could get caught in a net. You're right on that. But the power of a decision. Well, I'm just always this. Our family's always that. Well, why don't you break that crazy thing? Amen. Why don't you be the one that rises above the fray? Let the rest of the family do what they want to do. You can't change them. But just take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and say, I'm going to kick the worry habit. I'm going to kick the complaining habit. I'm going to kick the bending spree. Spending when I shouldn't be spending. I don't have to do what has always been done. He said, I will arise. And he not only said, I will arise, he did it. He did it. He got up. He got up. He could have died in the hog pen. But he said, I'm going home. I'm talking about amazing grace this morning. I'm talking about amazing grace. Amazing grace. I will arise and go and say, because your words determine the way things are going to be going in your life. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. He said, you know what? I'm going home and I'm going to say, Dad, when I left home, I said, give me. I'm coming home saying, make me. Teach me how to be a man. Teach me how to quit whining. Teach me how to appreciate what I had. Even though I'm out in the servants' quarters, I'll be so happy to be out there because at least I can know that I'm on the property of my Father's house. Oh, I tell you, the Father's house, the Father's house, the Father's house. food and enough to spare, good mattresses, clean water. Talked to someone, their water heater had been out for 3 days. It just turned back on. They said, oh, it felt so good to get a good hot bath. 3 days with cold shower. My gracious, that'll wake you up. But I'll say, Father, just make me. I'm not coming home saying, give me. I'm just coming home saying, just whatever you say, Dad. You know, that's one thing that I've discovered through the years. You know a person's ready for help when they say, just make me. I don't mean force them. I hope I said that right. But in other words, you just show me the right way. Tell me the right thing. Point me in the right direction. I'll do it by the grace of God. I'll do it by the help of God. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, now listen to me. This boy is one of the, I mean, this boy would have been hard to forgive if you didn't love him. I mean, he did it all wrong. He didn't even leave kind. He just said, I want what's mine. I'm out of here. This boy did it all wrong. Did it all wrong. And something we've got to remember in the kingdom of God, no matter how crazy people are, no matter how bad they are, no matter how low people go, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Did you hear me? You know, your sin's always worse than my sin, you know. And I'm not on a sin kick, but I'm giving some comparison this morning that will help us. And something to help. You know, both men were very close to me. Both men have gone on to be with the Lord. But there are two men that were probably the sorriest two men that I've ever known in my life. Now, and that's a judgmental statement. You understand what I mean? Because God didn't see them that way. But I was on the side that had to supply, I didn't have to, but we were on the side that supplied food for a family left without because they were off sinning. And little children didn't have proper clothing, didn't have proper groceries, facing eviction and, all the things that happened. Driving around nice wheels and gambling and, you know, just living what seemed to be the high life of sin. And both of those men, if I was God, I think those two, I'd say, they're not worth it, man. Do you just with what I know, and who are we? But you see what I mean? You ever seen somebody so sorry that you wondered how they got so sorry? So insensitive, you wonder, how can a person get themselves in that frame of mind? But you know what? I remember one, I'm talking about two men, young men, nice-looking young men, had a way with women. Oh, did they have a way with women? They had a way to make money, but had a way to lose it pretty quick. God just kept saying to me, go one more time. Wait outside where you know he'll be. Maybe 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Catch him coming in. Talk Jesus to him one more time. Tell him God loves him. God can change his life. Then God had the audacity to do that more than once. Lord, I need to be home with my family. And now you can be foolish with what I... You can take anything I'm saying this morning, go crazy with it, but just take some bits and pieces and live and learn. But you know, the grace of God, no matter how low a person goes, no matter how crazy they are, Do you know the grace of God saved those two men? And both became successful pastors. And boy, it's no feather in my cap because God's had mercy and grace with me, with all of us. But the brother of one of them said, if it hadn't been for Pastor Bob Nichols, my brother would be in hell today. But the family, God put the family back together and the children grew up and things were well. And both turned out to be pastors and had very compassionate. They knew how to be compassionate, you know. They'd been there, baby, you know. They understood crazy. They'd lived that life. They'd been there. You say, well, I would never live like that. Look in the mirror and just start singing Amazing Grace. It saved what could have been me. Once was lost. You know, one bullet will take you out. You can take a little 22 revolver and shoot a person in the heart. One bullet will take you out. You don't have to be shot 5 or 6 or 7 times. One sin, one wrong place at the wrong time, one wrong man, one wrong woman, one wrong drug, one bad drug night. All it takes is one. But all it took was one on a cross. I know there were three, but there was one on a cross. One. And that piece of wood or no other piece of wood, it wasn't that piece of wood. It was who was on that wood. It was Jesus, the Son of the living God, who shed every drop of his blood for us. And he loved us so much. Loved us so much that no matter how badly we've missed it, if God has had that much patience and that much understanding with every one of us in this room today, we ought to have a little love, and a little more love, a little more patience with well, if God doesn't do this, just we need to start thanking God things are as good as they are. Amen. I've got to wind this up. Amen. But, you know, I've never heard anyone else say this, so I'm just going to claim it's my understanding, revelation from God. Grace. Wonder how long that man been on the front porch. When the sun was on the way home, grace is always on the front porch. God's amazing grace is always on the front porch. Because he loves, he cares. Hallelujah. And that's my Lord on the front porch. And the Bible said, he didn't wait till he got there and say, all right, son, here's 10 things. The Bible said he ran to him, fell on him. The boy hasn't had a bath yet. He's been in the hog pen, honey. He's been in the hog pen. Can you just take it from there? He runs. He falls upon his son. Kisses his son. And together they go back to the house. And then, of course, there's the elder brother. One brother's home, but he's not happy about it. One brother decided he's going to seek his fame and fortune, and he found out the hard way, sin is no win. No one has ever beat the Las Vegas of sin, never. The house always wins. House always wins. And he said, well, I just don't understand this. I just don't understand it. I've been good. I've never given my father a hard time. And all of that, I'm not saying that was not true. But he was dragging his feet at the same time. But the father cut to the chase and said, son, you don't understand. Your brother was dead. He was dead. He was lost. He was dead. He was lost. He said, friend, just a few hours ago, I talked to someone who knew some folks in this church that have come a long, long way and said, what they found at Calvary has changed their life. Interesting. It's the Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Son, you don't understand. I'm not celebrating him being naughty and sinful and wasting his substance. This is life and death. Why do you give altar calls? Life and death. Eternity with or without Jesus. Why do you give altar calls? Because we're going to spend eternity either with Jesus, shouting the high praises of God, or otherwise. And you know, it's very... the world doesn't realize what they're saying, you know, when they use hell so quickly. I mean, it's just kind of a byword like darn or, you know, something like that. But hell's forever. So is heaven. And I guess that's one place where some people can't find a place to gripe. Thank God. I hear all these songs sometimes about my mansion. I don't know. I'd be glad to have an outhouse in heaven, praise God, if there is such a thing. Amen. Thank God we're going to spend eternity with him. And you know, Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Hey, listen, you're rich. You're rich. Did you get the message? Amazing Grace is preaching to you, teaching to you. You're rich. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. How rich is amazing grace. How rich is amazing grace. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than all the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you realize we were add-ons? Gentiles were add-ons. Hello. I know Jewish people can be very arrogant and they can stir up their own brand of animosity. I remember those first early trips we took to Israel. I mean, they caused no small craziness in some of our tours way back when. But you know, hey, don't get too fired up. Us as Gentiles, we were add-ons. I never said that before, but I like that. I'm going to meditate on that a little bit more. We're add-ons. We got the extra plan. We got to move on here for sake of time. Ephesians 3:8, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And you know that word riches, it's wealth, money, possessions. It's not only eternity grace. It's not only you're going to spend eternity with him. You're rich in that. But God's will is that you be blessed in the process of it all. Don't have to be. But I believe God has some great blessings in store for us in this year to come. I believe God has some great blessings. Hallelujah. 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 It's a good opportunity for musicians to help me now. Hallelujah. We're going to sing Amazing Grace again. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're rich. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're rich.
We're rich.
We're rich. Woo! We are rich. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For amazing grace.